The city of Reading tried a number of different approaches to crime and criminals over the last few years. One of the more effective and popular approaches was the creating of NPU, the Neighborhood Policing Unit. Keeping the NPU open takes a few bucks, and the city asked for them in last fall's election in the form of a half-cent local sales tax. Voters said no, and the vote was not at all close. But after the vote, a private campaign sprang up to raise money for the Neighborhood Policing Unit, and it appears to have bought the NPU a couple of more years of life at a minimum. Corey McCandless is the fundraising director for the Reading Public Safety Campaign at readingpublicsafety.com, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Corey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks. Great to be here.
So give us a little history on the NPU, if you would, and because it seems to be fairly well received in the community.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, being in the community, and I think, you know, there's a general kind of frustration with what we see going on with, you know, community public safety issues. And so I think when people hear about police activities being proactive, that piques people's interest. Because I think in general, the level of service, you know, that people get to experience with public safety has been decreasing as their numbers have decreased and their ability to get to calls, you know, quickly and those sorts of things. And so you know, that's there's a general feeling that people have about public safety that way. And so, you know, anything that says, hey, they're being proactive, they're going after the bad guys, they're like, you know, that encourages, I think, the community to hear those stories.
How does the NPU operate differently from maybe the way a normal patrol would?
Yeah, and that's a great question. From my understanding, you know, normal patrol is generally doing, you know, responding to calls for service. You know, the calls that are coming in, you know, all over, you know, the different ways that they do. What these four officers and their sergeant do is they get to sit down and say, you know, really, what are we going to go do today? Who are we going after? And they might set up a campaign or a project to, you know, to put together a warrant for, you know, a certain house that's noted with problems. I think a lot of their tips come from the other, I guess it's about 95 officers. And those officers pick up on things that they don't have the time to go investigate. And so they pass it off to these guys with the NPU and let them go do the digging, do the investigating, go get this, you know, take the time to get search warrants, and go do the legwork that the others don't have the chance to do. I bumped into one of these other officers, and one of the things I think that the NPU does is they encourage our community. They also, I think, are encouraging those other 95 officers, because those 95 officers, you know, the one that I talked with, he was, you know, I think he liked to know that these guys are out there doing the proactive things that he doesn't have time to do. So,
so it's a chance really to make some contact with the community and not just keep going from where the dispatcher sends you from moment to moment.
Exactly. Right. So.
And so, Corey, how was the NPU funded originally? I mean, how did it come into being if there was a need for funding just for that unit?
Yeah, and that's, I know for the funding for the last couple years has been coming from essentially the city's savings account. They have a buffer that, you know, that's there within their savings. So they didn't have money in their general fund for it. So what they said is, hey, this is important. We want to keep funding this. And so the last 2 years, that's where that funding's come from. But, you know, so what happened around January is the city was forecasting for their budget process, which needs to be done in June. And what they decided was, we can't keep spending money, you know, out of the city savings account. We need those for other resources, or it's dwindling down to the level that, you know, they're not comfortable with it. So I guess it would be their reserves. And so they said in January, we can't keep funding these police officers and also some firemen. And so that piqued the interest of some people in the community, and they said, hey, we don't, you know, we can't go backwards in these times with our public safety. It's just the wrong direction to go. And so they stepped up and said, hey, we want to, you know, help get a campaign going to keep, you know, the police services, you know, at least at status quo.
And that led to the Reading Public Safety Campaign, for which Corey McCandless is the fundraising director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You're welcome to join the conversation on the exchange to talk about what's happening specifically in Reading and whether you've seen this program perhaps duplicated in other places and your thoughts about community policing generally. Welcome here on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So it certainly seems like there's a sense in the community based on the dollars, and we'll get to the numbers in a moment, that NPU is worth keeping, that the neighborhood policing unit is a good thing. And yet I was rather surprised when I went back and looked at the numbers for Proposition D on last November's ballot, which would have brought in a half-cent sales tax to keep NPU funded for years to come.
Right.
I mean, that was, what, 62 to 38%?
Right. And Jeff, I kind of think of it, I think there was a little bit of a perfect storm going on for Northern California with that election. You know, obviously, definitely conservative voters came out in strong force for the election. And there was a strong campaign locally to kind of say that really emphasized the idea that our local government couldn't be trusted with the money for the tax. And so there's a strong, I think that I saw just a strong, you know, division in the community, you know, regarding trust of leadership. And so those, if you were, you know, being around Reading, it was a strong debate that went on and I think is still going on. And it's one of the things we're hopeful for with this campaign. I think, you know, the news has just been breaking the last few days that the city hired Barry Tippin as the new city manager. And Barry was quoted as saying we need innovative ways to solve problems. And with the tax measure going down, that's exactly what we need. We need innovative ways to solve some of these problems because we're in I think the perfect storm is that conservative voters didn't want to pass the additional tax measures, but yet we have increasing increasing expenses, you know, for, you know, health, pension reasons. So the question for rural communities in California and probably in Oregon too is how do you deal with these rising costs when folks in your community don't want to pass, you know, additional revenue sources?
I think that's the rub. Yeah, it's definitely heard from fire district level all the way up to the state capitals. It's like, how come you have more revenue than you used to have, but you don't seem to be able to provide the services like you used to? And quite often it does end up being pensions, as you mentioned, which I noticed is a factor in the city of Reading as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. It's either you get more taxes or there's less services. And that's, you know, and that's the real, you know, that's the real struggle. And I think our hope is that there would be, you know, a greater sense of community unity, especially around a program like this, that would lead to trust with city leadership and city council, and would lead to, you know, some more revenue that the city desperately needs to, you know, for public safety. So we've asked them to really double down on their commitment to that. This initiative, we didn't come out and say, hey, this is what we think our highest priority is. They came out as a city council in the last few months and said, this is our highest priority. And so we've come behind them to say, we'll support that. And we're hoping that they put some skin in the game in it too, with, you know, with all the, you know, union negotiations they have going on, that they get behind and double down on public safety. Because that's what everybody's really asking them to do.
So, Corey, without the public safety campaign, what was the likely fate of the NPU? When would it have gone away, and would the officers have been laid off, or would they have been dispersed to just normal patrol?
Yeah, that wasn't really clear to me. The initial statement in January was they'd be laid off. It sounded like the Chief Paletti had plans to reassign them. He had four positions set aside, I think, that they were going to get reassigned to. So what they've done just in the last few weeks, we gave the first $500,000 of the campaign pledge that was initially made. So we gave that first $500,000, and that's enabled them to say, hey, we know we got about the first year covered, so we're going to go fill those other four positions that we've been holding. So essentially, right now, the campaign has been successful to keep the neighborhood policing unit intact, doing what they're, you know, doing what their mission is, and it's enabled the police to go start the hiring process for these other four positions, which they're calling laterals. They're trying to get officers to move from other communities that they don't have to train, that can get quickly up to speed. And I think that'll put their numbers just over 100 officers for the community.
Okay. And for the NPU itself, it's four officers and one sergeant, right?
That's right.
Okay. Corey McCandless, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the fundraising director for the Reading Public Safety Campaign, which appears to have come up with enough money already to keep the Neighborhood Policing Unit, the NPU, intact in the city of Reading. Conversation you might want to join, 800-838-3760, either to discuss Reading specifics or community policing generally, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here is a call from Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Corey McCandless.
Yes, I understand that the $500,000 came from Bethel Church, and I'm wondering what other sources have you gotten money from, and how much?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. We have, I don't know the total number of people, because the way that sometimes we've had some people give us some money and say, here's the money that we collected. We asked a variety of churches to put the need out about a week ago. So we've raised $28,000, I think, from about 100 to 150 people. So that's, that $28,000 is, kind of in our bank account, and we'll be dispersing that, to the city in addition to the $500,000. Hopefully, we're going to be getting more in the days and weeks ahead. So as we put the word out, so that's what we've raised in addition to the $500,000 so far.
Well, the $500,000 was the real eye popper at the beginning, though. I mean, how did one church come up with $500,000 all by itself?
Yeah, that's a good question too. Bethel is a big church. They have a lot of people that attend locally and kind of virtually too. So that's been one of the strengths for them. And they have a lot of people. It's a very generous church. I'm sure a lot of people in Reading know they have students that have helped clean up the river trail, and they support many of the local organizations financially in the community. So I think one of the questions has been, hey, why do you just support public safety or police officers? And they don't just support public safety and officers. They support many. They support the Good News Rescue Mission. They've supported, many others. And so, it's a big church. And, one of the things is, solving big problems. I think, Jefferson Public Radio came into Reading and helped raise money for the Cascade. And just not any group would have been able to do that because of the need that there was. And, it needed to be a sizable organization. Well, the Civic is a good example of a similar one.
Civic Auditorium that you manage and where Bethel Church meets?
Exactly. Well, Bethel Church has their school here. Bethel Church has their local buildings, actually a variety of buildings that they do their church services in. So they don't meet here for church. Mm. Their school meets here Monday through Thursday, about 8 months out of the year. So, but I think my point is that big problems or big challenges take a lot of resources. And so, like the Civic, they were able to bring a lot of resources to bear to make the Civic, viable, similar to how you guys did, solve the issue with the Cascade. Those are the creative solutions that we need in our community right now in these tough times.
So $500,000, you mentioned another $28,000 on top of that. So we're at about roughly 530 at this point. Is that the total in the campaign kitty?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and then so it's still a bit short, though, I understand. I mean, because wasn't the city looking for something like $1.24 million to fund the through June 2019? So we're talking 2 years of funding, and you've already given them one, basically, haven't you?
Right. So that puts us at a need of $712,000. So we have a long way to go. And, I think, really what we need is big donors to step up. There's folks in the community. I would say we have, from a grassroots perspective, done a great job getting the word out. We have, I think, one of our videos been, 13,000 views, and 500 people on our Facebook. So there's definitely, the word is out about it. And some people are giving anywhere from, you know, $10,000 to $3,000. But we need some larger donations to come on board if this campaign is going to be successful. And that's this, you know, where we're jumping into with a fundraising campaign to fund, you know, public resources. I think you had mentioned, you know, does this happen in other places? And Jeff, when I originally started this campaign and I looked in the, you know, looked across the internet to see, hey, who's done this? It's very sparse. Like,
it's a rare thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of embarked on something that's, I really don't think has happened, you know, across the country. So, we're stepping out and taking a risk and trying to see what the, you know, the will is of the community to, you know, to support these services.
And Corey, is there a long-term roadmap here? I mean, has anybody from the public safety campaign said, okay, we could do this for 2 years, maybe five, but at some point the city probably needs to step in and ask for tax money again? I mean, has it been mapped out that far? Is it just like, let's deal with saving the NPU now and we can get into the long-term planning later on?
Yeah, I think the city's been, you know, has had, just before them has been this next 2 year budget. You know, they do a 10 year outlook, which they know is challenged by, you know, growing pension costs. So, you know, so it's a tough look without a growth in this community of, you know, economic growth. It's going to be challenging for them to grow services. And they know that. That's kind of what they're staring at. So, let's see, pensions. Now I just lost my train
just,
of thought.
Just long-term planning, basically, you know, the viability down the road.
Right, right. They know the challenge long-term on the 10-year plan. The 2-year plan has been, how do we keep them intact? And so that's been where we tried to step in with this, you know, with this process. So right now they're looking at a 2-year decision. And so that's, they needed to make a decision by June. So we had a June 1st deadline of this campaign, and because we know that during the month of June, they're going to finalize their budget for the next 2 years. So they're going to have their own decision to make, looking at our success of the campaign to decide, you know, what commitments they can make for those 2 years. And that's kind of where we are in the conversation is, you know, we said we'd get the campaign started. And, you know, here soon in the next few weeks, we're going to evaluate its success, and they're going to need to make a decision on how to proceed for, you know, for those 2 years.
So June 1st is tomorrow. I mean, is there a chance that the city council could look at the numbers and say, well, you're not quite the $1.24 million, so thanks but no thanks? I mean, is there a chance of that happening?
My hunch is at this point is they would keep the unit funded for the year. And then they would make the changes for year two. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it would be, because I think they've really committed for the next year, which they have the resources for. So, but yeah, they can, you know, any of those options I think are on the table for them to decide what to do with, especially with the new city manager, you know, being, you know, brought in. Mm-hmm. They might be thinking creatively about a lot of things.
Plus, I noticed there's a possibility of a new police chief as well, because Rob Pauletti is apparently job hunting in the Bay Area. From recent news reports, so things could change there as well.
Yeah,
possibly.
That's right.
I want to make sure that this is just not a done deal at all. Our guest again is Corey McCandless, is the fundraising director for the Reading Public Safety Campaign. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You put a pretty good set of FAQs in your website, and they ask some good questions. I mean, for example, how can people be assured that donations to the Public Safety Campaign go to specifically the neighborhood policing unit?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. You know, the chief, I was at Merchants Crime Watch local event last week, and the chief, you know, assured everybody this money's being put into a fund specifically for him to appropriate for officers. So that's, you know, other than everybody's word saying that, that's, you know, I take that, you know, to be their word. The other thing is they've already moved to keep the positions intact and are filling the other positions. So they're actually, you know, they're actually, if as long as those officers are there, they've been funded by the campaign. So I think it should be pretty clear to people whether or not the money's been used appropriately.
Is it kind of like a modern political campaign in the sense that you want to get a lot of small donations as well as the big ones, like from Bethel?
Yeah, I mean, it's critical. You know, I think with a campaign like this, I'm sure the 80-20 rule applies. And so we definitely need large donations to make the campaign successful. So we're asking large businesses, folks that have the means to do that, to jump on and join us with this.
And of course, the question I'm sure a lot of people are asking, particularly the people who voted no on the sales tax in Prop D last November, is like, look, I pay taxes. Why would I want to contribute to this campaign? What's the response there?
Oh yeah, I mean it's been, for some people, it's a visceral response. And there are a lot of people that are frustrated because they don't feel like money's been spent wisely. And so there's definitely, there's strong frustration that we've run into. And the only thing I can see is that we got to get past that. And a campaign like this could help us as a community get past that, so we can get down the road and we can create trust. So, as the community sees this money being spent the way that they said it was going to be spent, I hope it would help, provide some trust that when they say they're going to spend tax money in a certain way, they mean it. It is a trust sort of opportunity for the community.
All right. Further results to come, obviously. I want to point out, too, that we did approach the Reading Police Department about putting a representative on the air with Corey McCandless, and they just never quite finished getting back to us as of the time we needed to lock this up yesterday. Corey McCandless is the fundraising director for the Reading Public Safety Campaign, which already has, 528,000 dollars.
That's right. Yeah.
In the kitty for the public safety campaign at readingpublicsafety.com. Corey, thanks for joining us today. Very much appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
All right, take it easy.